Let's go to 1 Corinthians in our Bibles this morning, please. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Apostle Paul here writing to the church at Corinth. Notice verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So this morning's message I've entitled The Preaching of the Cross. Let's pray. Lord, give us your presence this morning and guide us in your truth and wisdom. And we pray that the Holy Ghost would use the word in our hearts. We would each open our hearts and hear from you and respond to you. And Lord, we trust in the power of your word to work miracles this morning. And so we give you this service. Pray you'll be glorified in it. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Interesting that Paul starts off this passage about the preaching of the cross by saying Christ sent me not to baptize. I don't believe that Paul is saying that baptism is not important. It is. But compared to the preaching of the cross, baptism is simply a step of obedience, a symbol of what happens when we get saved. And there were those then, and believe it or not, there are even those still today, some of them are even Baptists, who attribute way too much power to the water. And it's just water. And you just get wet. But it is a step of obedience. And it is a way of saying publicly, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I trust Him as my Savior, and I'm born again. And I want others to know it. But as Paul said, that's not why he came. He came to preach the gospel so that people could get saved, as he says there in verse 17, but to preach the gospel. Folks, that's why we're here. If you had to, you know, narrow it down, we're here to glorify God. But Jesus told us before he left, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in Matthew 16. We're here to preach the gospel. And as Paul explains there in verse 17, not with wisdom of words. We have not been called of God to intellectually impress people into God's kingdom. It doesn't work that way. We're not here to apologetically convince somebody to get saved. We're here to preach the gospel. You say, yeah, but what about when people ask questions? God will give you the answers. God lives within you. But it's the gospel that has the power to save. It's not how well we can speak. It's not what kind of people skills we have. It's not how much we can impress them with our knowledge. It's the gospel. And we need to be careful and understand that. That this word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We aren't. We're just sinners saved by grace. But the gospel, the word of God, the gospel which comes from the word of God has the power to save. Imagine that. While we're talking about that, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 if you would. Just quickly, Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul again is talking to a different church, but he's talking about the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. And notice he says here in chapter 1 and verse 12, he says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice what he's saying. You trusted God, what? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel. It's the gospel that has the power. We're here to preach the gospel. That word means good news. We're here to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. This is, by the way, not talking about what I'm doing right now, preaching in church. This is talking about individuals preaching the gospel to other individuals. That's what it's talking about. And as Paul says, not with wisdom of words. We're not out there to impress people. With our wisdom, we need to give them the gospel. You know, I tell people a lot of times they're afraid to witness, and there's plenty of Christians that are afraid to witness. And they're like, well, I don't know what to say. I said, just tell them what happened to you. Tell them what happened. You got saved. Tell them you got saved. Learn some scriptures. Give them those scriptures. Because those scriptures have the power. It's the scripture that contains the gospel. And it's the gospel that saves. And we'll talk more about that later. But he says, notice verse 17 of our passage, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Wow, what a statement. 1 Corinthians 1:17. How can the cross of Christ be made of none effect? When somebody believes that you can intellectually get someone saved. You can't. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation takes the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to perform a supernatural miracle in a life to bring somebody from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God, from darkness to light. We don't have the power to do that. But the gospel does. We are not called to impress people with wisdom. And that's what Paul's telling us in this passage. Just go back to verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Preaching of the cross. Preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says to the unsaved, it is foolishness. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, where Paul again explains the unsaved's attitude, if you will, about spiritual things. Notice verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A lot of people don't understand this, but an unsaved person can read the entire Bible from front to back, and they're not going to get much out of it because they're spiritually discerned. And an unsaved person has a dead spirit. It's not until you're born again and that God quickens your spirit and gives you new life that you can understand spiritual things, because it takes the author to interpret what was written. And when we get saved, the author, God, moves in the person of the Holy Ghost, and we become His temple, and now He is there to teach us the Word, as Jesus said He would be in John chapter 16. So Paul told us that it is the power of God, there in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, to us that are saved. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in Romans 1, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the cross is power. A power that we can't even understand. You think about it. A power that can take someone on their way to hell and make them on their way to heaven. Now that's power. A power that can take someone who is full of sin and make them justified, sinless in the eyes of God. That's power. And that's the preaching of the cross, the power of the gospel. Go back to our passage, verse 19. He says, for it is written, 1 Corinthians 1. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Verse 20. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Well, this verse just means so much more now that we have the internet, doesn't it? Where we have this infinity of knowledge at our fingertips. And yet God says He makes foolish the wisdom of the world. Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Man is not going to find God through knowledge. Through man's wisdom. It isn't going to happen. Matter of fact, look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, over two chapters. He says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. God wrote that. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Think about that. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. One of my favorite verses. So God is explaining to us in this passage that the preaching of the cross has the power to change lives, but the enemy of the preaching of the cross is man's wisdom. Which, by the way, comes from man's father, which is not God. It's the devil. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, ye are of your father, the devil. And the devil has been trying to confuse man since the Garden of Eden about the truth. And he hasn't stopped. The Bible says that he blinds people's minds. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and I'll show you this. This is one of his goals. He really doesn't have a lot of goals, the devil. He basically has two main goals. I'm talking about during this time. His ultimate goal is to be worshipped as God, and he'll get that for a short time in the tribulation. But his goal during the church age, really, he just has two. Number one, keep people from getting saved. Number two, those who do get saved, keep them from growing. Ruin their testimony, mess up their Christian lives, whatever, but keep them from being effective Christians. That's really his two goals. Now, one of them is mentioned here in 2 Corinthians 4. Notice verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What does it say the God of this world hath done? Blinded minds. He blinds people's minds. And he uses, believe it or not, wisdom to do it. Man's wisdom. And that's what Paul's trying to explain in this passage. So go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to find God through wisdom. It says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that good? To the world, preaching seems foolish. To the world, the gospel seems foolish. If I'm going to find God, the world says, I'm going to find Him through my wisdom. I'm going to find Him on the internet. Because everything's on the internet. Well, there is a lot of stuff on the internet. But it's the foolishness of preaching that saves them that believe. That's what God says. In Romans 10:14, how shall they call on Him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Again, that's not talking about pastors and evangelists. That's talking about us as Christians. How shall they hear without a preacher? In Romans 10:14. People are to hear the gospel from preachers of the gospel. And it's a plan that Jesus Christ established 2,000 years ago, and it works. We're all here because it works. Amen? Somebody preached the gospel to us. Now, somebody might have brought us to church because they didn't feel confident to preach the gospel, but they brought us to church and we heard the gospel. But somewhere along the way, someone preached the gospel. And the foolishness of preaching saved us. It's so simple, isn't it? But God's ways are. When it comes to the things of man and the things on earth, it's just the simplicity of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now he goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, the Jews require a sign. Sure enough, when Jesus was on earth, how many times did they come to Jesus? Give us a sign. Prove you're who you say you are. Jesus said, no, a wicked generation seeks a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. I'll give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. And that's the only sign I'm going to give you. Other than the fact that I'm healing multitudes of people who come to me. Everybody that came to Christ got healed. He calmed the seas. Other than the fact that I'm God and in control of creation, I'm going to give you a sign. When they crucify me, I'm going to come back from the dead. That's a pretty good sign. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet when we talk to people about Jesus, what happens? You know, when the rich man went to hell there in Luke 16, he said to Abraham, send someone back to tell my brothers about this place. What was his answer there in Luke 16? At the end of the passage, he said that they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he says, though one rose from the dead, they will not believe if they won't believe the Word of God. Somebody could come back and have fire on his clothes and say, I was in hell and God allowed me to come back and here I am. People won't believe. It's the power of the gospel that saves souls. The Jews require a sign. And he goes on to say in chapter 14, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And they were in the early church. He says, and the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. Sure enough, that's the Greeks. But, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews, a stumbling block, and under the Greeks, foolishness. Paul says, I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel. The Jews are going to keep stumbling over the gospel because they want a sign, and the Greeks are going to keep stumbling because they see it as foolishness. They want wisdom. But wisdom doesn't have the power to convert a soul. The gospel does. And so Paul says, I'm just going to preach Christ crucified there in verse 23. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6, if you would. And Paul, in this passage in Galatians, makes it clear that we have, as God's children, nothing to glory in because we got it all from God, anything that we have. But notice he says, Galatians 6:14, God forbid, he says, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul says, if I'm going to glory in anything, and by the way, Paul explained in other places, he spoke multiple languages, he had a proper intellectual Jewish upbringing, he was a free man, he wasn't a slave. Paul had a lot of things that he could have, from an earthly point of view, boasted in. He said, nope, I'm going to glory in the cross. And I'm going to preach the cross. And by the way, it worked. We're here this morning because it worked. Amen? Amen. All these churches got planted and people got saved. And then those people went out and they planted churches and people got saved. And it's worked that way for 2,000 years. And the gospel went around the world. The Bible actually tells us in the book of Colossians that the whole world heard the gospel before Paul died. That's pretty amazing. It worked. the disciples took the command seriously. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, they said, well, I guess we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what they did. And it took some persecution, by the way, to help. The Bible says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word there in Acts chapter 8. God had to really reach down and start persecuting the church there in Jerusalem especially, but also in Antioch, and force some of the people to get out of their comfort zone and go somewhere else. And it took heavy persecution to do it, but it worked. And he used amazing means to get the gospel to other places. There was a man got saved in the desert. He took the gospel to a place called Ethiopia. But it was the preaching of the cross. And it always will be the preaching of the cross. Look at verse 24. For unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look down at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You mean Jesus is everything? Yes. He's everything. And it's the preaching of his gospel that has the power to save. And that's what the world needs to hear. It doesn't matter if we have the internet. It doesn't matter how wise man thinks he is. The Bible says our Creator, who's the one that gave us our brains, is much wiser than we are. He knows everything. And we think we're just so wise and so smart, and we're going to get to heaven and be so shocked at how little we really knew. And yet, that wisdom has nothing to do with people getting saved. It has something to do with people not getting saved, as we read. But it has nothing to do with people getting saved. It's the preaching of the cross. That has the power to save souls. So let's keep that in mind. That this book, like nothing else on this earth, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce to the dividing of soul and sunder, or soul and spirit, and it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think about that. This book can do that. It's that powerful. So this is what we need to give people. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. Look over to 1 Peter chapter 1 if you would. We looked at this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. But just as a reminder about the powerful gospel from the Word of God, what it can do in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, that sounds powerful, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Look at verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he tells us in verse 23 that the word of God has the power to make us born again. And we read in 25 that the Word of God lasts forever. And that is where, as we read in verse 25, the gospel comes from. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word that's incorruptible and saves souls. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. So, preach the gospel. How simple can it be? Don't worry about the wisdom. Learn some scriptures, maybe learn a basic outline, but just preach the gospel. Tell people what happened to you. Preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. He's there to help. He's there to guide. And He's there to touch that heart with the powerful Word of God and convict them of their need for Jesus Christ, and they might just repent and get saved. That's between them and God. But if we'll give them the gospel, we've done our part. The preaching of the cross. Let's pray.